Okay, we are moving towards the Q&A session. The first question comes from Carolina Dores, Morgan Stanley, and said the following: At this point, do you expect hydro condition in Spain to normalize? What does your guidance assume in terms of hydro production?
I can already give you the date, the data of yesterday. I think the hydro production in Spain grows by 27% toward previous year. The global group is on the range of 70%, but I think Spain, which was the most affected, 27%. The whole renewables in Spain, I think, onshore as well, is around 27% up, and all renewables is on the range of 21% at the group level. Which I think that makes then in the last, I think the date, the information we reported on 30 of March, we had an increase in the total output on the six, around 6%, and now the total output at today is 9% more than the previous year. Means during April, the performance has been very good. What we can expect on that one, I think we mentioned that our reserves in this moment are above the average. The production is, I think, higher than previous year, and what we are expecting and foreseeing in our plans is to have already, the, let's say, a normal year, so an average year as a whole, which I think is, 13, around 13 GWh. 13 TWh.
The second question comes from Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, and Jorge Alonso, Société Générale, and is asking them both about the IRRs on the U.S. offshore project of Avangrid that Avangrid is bidding for.
The offshore project?
Avangrid.
I think in the case of, there are two project. There are one project which is, both are located in the south of Vineyard, Martha's Vineyard. They are a project, they are for Massachusetts, is an offer, two different option, 400 and 800 MW alternatives for wind farms, offshore wind farms. There are another one, which is Connecticut, which is already another auction for 190 MW as well from the same place. I think is one is, they have the choice, 400 or 800 MW for Massachusetts, and they're 190 MW for Connecticut. I think in both cases, I think the dates for those one is on the, in the year 2022, 2023 around.
Okay. We have a set of three questions, number five, six, and seven, from Jorge Alonso, Société Générale. The first one is regarding the expected capital gains, if any, due to the gas asset disposal, and are those ones included in the new guidance of net profit, circa 3 billion? The second question is our view about the potential renewables glut or digest in Spain, as apparently 23 GW of solar PV would have asked for permission to be installed in the coming years. The third one is, are improving the expectation for new renewables capacity in the U.S. despite the end of PTCs in 2020? Due to RPS or expectation of PPA with private companies, which is our view on this development in the U.S. in renewables?
Unfortunately, our gas disposal has not already capital gain. I think we make a huge provision in the last year account, but that makes that in our case, I think that was a business was in a loss. I think they just have a positive effect because it will not already have that negative effect. I think it's. It was not any capital gain, just the opposite. It was a negative effect last year, and this year, the only effect is already that the losses we were incurring is going not to happen. Related to renewables in Spain, I think that is consistent, what has already made by the expert group, which is already recommending to move toward more renewables. I think it have to close, it have to be closed, the coal power plants, and nuclear is going to remain for a while. If they are already enough remuneration, so in that case, it's needed another power. Nothing is normal, then this sort of project will be there. What is our view? Which I think is logic, then there are already interest already in investing in this sector, because I think the energy is going to be needed in the future. We have few of those projects that I think we are part of those one, which is already asking for permit as well, which I think in due time we will put already, we will make investment in those one as well. Related to the PTCs and expectation in PPAs, well, I think the activity in the country continues in the same manner. I think, as you know, they are initially most of our buyers of electricity. We are already utilities in different states, just a consequence of the renewable obligation that the regulators in different states are imposing. So afterwards, it were already cities, towns, etc., were requesting this. And now most of the customers are already long-term PPAs with a large customer. I think recently I heard that Google has already said that all the needs of energy has been fully covered with renewable energy. Among others, we are already one of their suppliers. So which I think, and that continuing in the same line. Certain, I think the things are already, the rules are slightly changing, because I think the capability of generating tax credit diminishes. So I think it will be the access of those one is going to be different than it was. But I think the life continues and the demand continues in green energies, because I think in the, as you see, for instance, in this case of the announcement of different state of the interest in making already offshore wind farm. It was not the case in the past, and now it's not only Massachusetts, it's Massachusetts, it's Connecticut, it's North Carolina, it's different states, which are all of them already in this point. So, which I think we continue on this line.
Now we are moving towards the questions regarding the Brazilian deal made by Neoenergia. And the group of analysts that are interested in these questions are Carolina Dores from Morgan Stanley, Jorge Guimarães from Haitong, Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, Manuel Palomo, Exam BNP, Meike Becker from Bernstein, and Alberto Gandolfi from Goldman Sachs. Basically, the questions are regarding the rationale to acquire Electropaulo from Neoenergia side, and if Neoenergia wins finally the bid, would you still interested in other acquisition in the country? The second is the size of synergies to be expected in this possible merger between Neoenergia and Electropaulo. The maximum exposure in terms of FFO or EBITDA that we can have limits in exposure to the Brazilian reals, and some indications if we can do it is about multiples regarding the offer of Neoenergia.
Well, as most I can say is that the board of Neoenergia, that is an Energia deal. So I think it's the first thing. That is not an Iberdrola deal. That is an Energia. And Energia, you know, is a joint company. What we have already, our partners is Banco de Brasil and Previ. I think we are already, since last year, we took the majority. But I think we have already just shareholders agreement with a very joint, committed manner of taking decision. I think the board of Neoenergia was already meeting a few days ago, and I think the management of Neoenergia, which I think is a full professional, who has been already working in both parts of the company, in that all Neoenergia and in Electro, and I think they are joining together. I think they make the integration, as I mentioned, they make a real, very good job. I think almost most of the target of the integration has been achieved. I think we were expecting the integration a level of synergies on the range of 5%. Probably that is going to be more close to 10 than close to 5. So I think they are making a good thing. So I think it's a very, very powerful management team. And this management team presented already the recommendation and the reason why they would like to bid for this one. It was a meeting in which we, all the board members, we have already debate this strategic fit, and the complementarities I present to you is geographically, Electropaulo is just in the middle of the concession of Electro, is just in the center. I think it's, there are certain roads which I think the left side is Electropaulo, the right side is Electro, which I think they are already fitting. They present all those things, the complementarities, which they have already with these Neoenergia distribution subsidiaries.
either operational in terms of management point of view, because being the center of this geographical area. So I think we approve, the board, we approve the deal, and I think the management of Neoenergia is doing what they have to do, is doing all they needed task in a friendly way, as is traditional in Brazil. I think in Brazilian, all the things are to be made in a very friendly manner, which is the common manner, and they are doing all the necessary to complete the transaction. I think it's at most I can already say, that is, I insist, is an operation of Neoenergia, is not an operation of Iberdrola, and I think it's, and we are, as one of part of the board, we are already supporting as the deal, and that is what was approved.
Next question is a set of them, comes from Rui Dias, UBS. First one is regarding the second quarter outlook for power generation and supply in Spain, based on the current market condition, how do you see the Q2 evolving relative to last year? The second question is about the sector consolidation in Europe. Could you give us your thoughts regarding the corporate reorganization recently announced in Germany? Do you think that specialization could be the way forward? And finally, something that is similar to another one that we have previously, solar in Spain, if we can provide some color on the new solar project that Iberdrola is building or is going to build in Spain, and how attractive are the project in terms of economics?
So I think related to power generation in Spain, of course, it will depend on the demand. The demand is going very well this year, but I think we expect that this will continue. The country is growing at level of 3%. The economy is growing very well. I think the number of tourists which are coming to the country, we are beating records. I think those are already full, then the hotels, restaurant, et cetera, require more electricity. And I think together with the export of the country will continue booming. I think the last report I got of the country is the export this quarter is continue growing at the range of 4-5% per annum. So I think we are moving in the last 5 years. I think the trend continues growing. And that one is making the demand, I think, is growing. And that is one of the reasons why then even during this quarter, the demand has been already increased. I think the prices has not been affected because we need all the power generation we produce and continue already, I think, producing with another sources, I think, to help and to support the demand with their. Our expectation is that is going to continue. I think, I don't know in which manner, but it's going to continue. And we are in a good shape for that one, either because our reserves in case of hydro are already above the average, which is normal for this period of the year. Second, because the first, let's say almost this April, is already booming. I think I mentioned to you that we increase our production in the 20 days of April in a very significant manner, in such a way that we move as a whole group from 6% increase toward the previous year to 9% increase only in 23 days. So it means that our increase in production is very important. So I think our expectation is if the demand continues, we are in a much better shape than the previous year for that one. And second, I think the April performance looks very good, either in production, either in the mix of power generation, what we are making that one. Second, related to the consolidation in Germany. So I think it's a German solution, which I think is I think it's a German solution where they decide to put all the things which are related with access to the customer in one company and nothing related with generation in another company, which I think I wish for them to be successful in that one. But I think that is a German solution, which I think is not bad, is not good, is not better, is not worse than those another solution. We feel that we are already companies which are fully integrated, and we are companies where fully already only networks. So which I think it depends in each of the places, and they took this choice. I think we are in Spain vertically integrated. We are in another country, we are not vertically integrated. It depends on the places, and I think that is a solution which I hope that they will be successful, and I wish for my colleagues there, they will make already great success with the deal they did. Solar, the question was solar in Spain. So which are our projects? So I think we have certain of them. There are one of them, corrígeme Paco, which is already 500 megawatts, something else, but we are already just asked permit for that one. We are several on another one, but that is the most advanced, that probably if that we achieve the permit, we will start the construction probably by the end of the year to be completed, I think, by 2020, probably 2019, 2020. I think most of the energy is going to be sold to long-term PPAs, to final customers, but we have already good demand for those ones.
Next set of questions comes from Manuel Palomo, Exam BNP Paribas. The first one is some update on the Massachusetts offshore auctions, the rationale for the delay, and if we are still positive on being awarded the project. And the second is, what is the capacity we will be willing to get out of the 800 megawatts that are already announced? And the second one is regarding the production in Spain and the hydro production concretely. The output, 6% up year on year, and is significantly below the country average of 21% year on year. Does it have anything to do with your hydro fleet, mostly pumping and storage, with the basin are you exposed to? Should we expect, as a result, a better than average hydro, Iberdrola hydro output in the coming quarters?
So I think the second one has been responded already. I think what we are expecting, I think we have reserves above the average, but our expectation in our plan is that we have a production in line with the average, which is 13, 14 terawatt hours. So which I think at present, I can't tell you the key figures, let me check in my computer, is up to now on the yesterday we have 5.123 terawatts. I think we need to make from now to the end of the year around 8 terawatt hours, so which I think that is almost what we have today in our reservoir, so which I think is we are already conservative in our approach. Related to Massachusetts, well, we are the expected date was already to take the decision by end of this month. I think we were announced yesterday or the day before yesterday, then probably they will delay the decision within 3 or 4 weeks by the end of May or middle of May, because I think they are in this moment involved. Precisely the same team of evaluation is the team what we are negotiating our transmission line from Canada. I think the Department of Energy of Massachusetts are evaluating both things. I think in the case of the transmission from Canada to Massachusetts, I think we are already negotiating just the terms of the deal, because we are the only one which we remind has been selected for them. And I think they are making all the paperwork on that one, and that one they say they announced that they are going to delay the decision. So probably that will be already by middle of May or by the end of May the final decision on that one. You mentioned if we have another project. I think these sites has already potential up to 2,400 megawatts, much bigger than that one. So I think we are able to make not only these 400 or 800, but I think we are able to make three times that one. So which I think we have plenty of space for making more one. That's why we are already planning, if we are already selected in Connecticut, to make already as well the to supply from this area as well a wind farm for supplying to Connecticut as well.
Next question comes from Meike Becker from Bernstein. Regarding the EBITDA improvements in UK retail, is Q1 2018 a representative run rate? What one-offs we do need to be aware of, and what do you expect from the price cap?
So, well, I don't know how many times I mentioned during my speech about normalization. The word I use several times is normalization. In the case of Britain, same then last year, in the case of Spain, we were already suffering very exceptional circumstances. In the case of Britain, we have been affected by very extraordinary low rates, low margins, mostly because of several reasons. One of them is because we had already implemented a new billing system And the billing system has already, we suffer, we have a lot of problems with it, and I think it costs a lot of money as a consequence of that one. So I think that makes then our margins, we are already very much deteriorated. We are coming to the normal condition with a, and I cannot say a high margin because the British margins are always very low, but I think low normal rates, no low normal margins, so which I think, but positive margin, what we were already in negative margins in the past. So, which I think that is what we are already expected. So, I think that was the question, no, Ignacio?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And finally, we have a couple of questions from Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs. The first one is regarding of the latest position on nuclear assets in Spain. And finally, is the if we are seeing any opportunities in the US in terms of M&A.
What about nuclear?
Yeah, what is the latest news on nuclear?
So I think the latest is what has been said by the expert committee, which they are saying that they feel that for achieving the emission targets which Spain has already signed, nuclear will be needed, but will be needed if they are already receiving a reasonable return, because for extending the operational life will require huge investment. And I think that is the position, the latest new is that one. So needed, but have to be accordingly remunerated to make the investment which will be required for this life extension. And another one was?
Possible M&A opportunities of M&A in the US.
Well, I think it's, you know, our target in the United States was already doing things in low levels. I think we are not already in this moment leading with no one in this respect, but if sometime somebody appear, I think we are always open to talk and to listen and to negotiate as we did with UL. I think certain I can already tell you, and I think you know very well, then we are not coming with deep pockets, paying a huge amount of money for those ones. We are always negotiating to make deals as we did with UL, in which we, using our currency, which is our asset, our shares of Avangrid, to make already something on that one. But in this moment, I can say you, we are not already in talks with nobody else.
Okay, 55 minutes of result presentations, other promise, but Iberdrola fulfills. Please let me now give you the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
Well, thank you very much for attending this one. As I mentioned to you in February, that I think we are a company, when we make plans, we do our best for fulfilling. I think that is the first sign that we are in line for achieving what we have already committed. I think the first quarter results are already encouraging ourselves to continue in this line. What we expect, as I mentioned, that we are already expecting this year EBITDA growing in the range of 20% up to 9 billion, and to make without extraordinaries as we had last year, so to achieve probably record result, record of net profits of this company since ever, which I think that is what we are working for, and we expect then that should be already what we can already be in during the following quarters, reporting to you, seeing that the things are going in this line. So thank you very much, and see you soon. Thank you.